that for us?
I think it was the same songs, right?
Yes, it was.
I'm going to be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start reading verse 11. He says, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead." And I'm just going to stop there. I'm going to take the same approach Paul did in this situation, and it's very interesting. Somehow, Paul sees that in this church there has been this doctrine that has been confused. And I don't know how this got into the church. I don't know if it was, he doesn't tell us. He doesn't go into detail on how this happened, but somebody was believing or saying that there was no resurrection. I don't know if it was, the old Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection, and maybe after they believed, they were just still a little confused about it, and somehow that's how it got in. Or maybe the Greeks that had, deities, and they believed in all these spiritual beings, and they didn't think that it could be, spiritual and carnal and carnal physical things together, and so they just thought, in heaven we're just all gonna be a bunch of, spirits, or we're just gonna turn into, floating spirits around there, and there's not gonna be a real resurrection of our physical body. I don't know how it got into to the church, but there were some among them that were saying that there was no resurrection. And it might have seemed like something that wasn't that important to them. Maybe they didn't think it was a big deal, but Paul saw what it was undermining. It was undermining an essential doctrine that was completely essential to the gospel. And it was undermining that Christ rose from the dead. And he says, look, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if the dead don't rise, then that means that Christ didn't rise either. And if that's true, then he sorts out a whole lot of problems with that. This text really, to me, is really interesting. I like it because to me, when I see this text, it proves that the apostles are reliable witnesses. I can read this and I can see that the apostles, what they were giving testimony of, can be believed by somebody like me. Because they weren't men who just, somehow got a crazy idea and started following Christ blindly and just, did this in some crazy way, in some crazy fashion. No, it shows that they knew exactly what they believed, and they knew that if what they believed and what they taught and what they said was wrong, then they were of all men most miserable. They knew it. And yet, they still went on teaching it
believing it because they knew it to be true. And so I can take this testimony and believe it by what he says in these verses. Really is interesting. But somehow, they weren't believing the resurrection, and by not believing that, they were undermining the essential doctrine of the gospel. And I just want to point it out that what he says here and how he talks about this is not an exaggeration. He's not exaggerating this to get a point across. He's telling them exactly what is true when he's explaining this. It's completely true. And this is what he says. He says, if Christ be not risen from the dead, he says, our preaching is vain. He says, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then our preaching is vain. Our preaching is useless. Our preaching is nothing. Our preaching is not profitable. It's not accomplishing anything. Our preaching is vain if Christ didn't raise from the dead. If Christ was not raised from the dead, then our preaching is vain, he says. He's talking about how useless it is for us to be preaching if Christ didn't rise from the dead. And I think one of his thoughts on this, saying that his preaching was vain, is he's saying that his preaching was also not just useless, not just that it didn't have any effect really on the people we're preaching to, but that when he would give up and work so hard where he would sacrifice things to be able to preach to people, he's saying there is no reward for that. He's saying it is unrewarding. It is fruitless. There is no reward for the sacrifices. He's saying if Christ be not risen, then the truth is this is all there is in life, and so let's just eat, drink, and be merry because there's no reward for preaching the gospel. Then he goes on, not just that it's useless, not just that it's unrewarding, but he says, we're found false witnesses of God. I mean, we're not just being a vain preaching. We're actually found being contrary to the goal that we have. We are wanting to be the preachers of truth, the preachers of something that is going to do something great to the person that hears it. And if we're preaching something that's not true, if we're preaching Christ rose from the dead when he did not rise from the dead, then we're being deceitful, we're being false witnesses, and that's even worse, it's hurting the people that we're preaching to. So this simple, I don't know how they got into thinking that there was no resurrection of the dead, but it doesn't seem like they thought it was a big deal to think that and to be teaching that. And Christ, and Paul sees that and he says, this is a big deal. Even though y'all may not see it, this is a big deal. Y'all cannot think that way. That is incorrect. It completely makes void, makes vain the preaching of the gospel. Amen. But he doesn't say just the preaching of the gospel is vain. He says, and your faith is also vain. You see what he's saying? He's saying not only is it that the preaching becomes vain if we take out Christ from rising again in the gospel. He says also your faith is in vain. You see, Christ being raised from the dead is essential to the gospel. That is what separates Christ from all others in the world. Look, there could be a whole lot of people that wanted to gather and make religions and do all these things, and they could have done a whole lot of things, and they could have even died for the people they were wanting to talk to and to convert into their religion. But the one thing that separates Christ from all of them is that they had no power to be raised from the dead. Amen. But Christ rose from the dead, and that proves, that shows that He is the Son of God. Amen. That He has power to do what He has told you He could do.
Amen.
Something nobody else has. And if we start getting into a doctrine that says there's no resurrection of the dead, that means Christ didn't raise from the dead, that means the gospel does nothing for you who believe the gospel. And He says, you are still in your sins. And if you think about that, that's scary. Really, preaching it this way, the way Paul does it, it's like, why do we even want to say that, you know? We don't want to be talking about that. You're still in your sins if Christ wasn't risen from the dead. You're still at enmity with God. There is no peace between you and God. You haven't overcome these things. You are not justified in Christ. You are still in your sins, is what He's saying, if Christ did not rise from the dead. It is devastating to see how believing that there's no resurrection of the dead really hurts all of us, the gospel. And Paul wants us to see how relevant it is to understand that there is a resurrection. And that's why he focuses and he tells us how important it is. Christ rose from the dead.
Amen.
So he tells us all this, and he tells us that we're still in our sins. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're in enmity with God. Our preaching is vain. It's useless. There's no reward. We're found false witnesses. And then he says that verse, he says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Christ did rise from the dead. You see what he's saying? He's saying, listen, I'm not in my sins anymore. I'm justified in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Listen, Christ did rise from the dead. He's not in the grave.
That's right.
And that just makes everything he told you wasn't true. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, it makes it true. And he's saying, our faith truly is not vain. Our faith is true. Our faith is saving faith. Because Christ did rise from the dead.
Amen.
There's no condemnation. What he's saying is, our preaching, what we preach, is truth. And the only reason we have to believe Paul is because he did see Jesus. I mean, what other reason did Paul have to say that Jesus rose from the dead? There was no other reason for him to turn and to start saying that when before he was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. There was no reason. It's not like Paul gained a whole lot of money and mansions for preaching Jesus' name. No. In fact, it was the opposite. He was sacrificing himself. He was in prison, and he had beatings and all these other things we know of the life of Paul after he believed in Jesus Christ. So the only reason he would say that Jesus rose from the dead and that he saw him, that he appeared unto him, is because it was true.
Amen.
So he's saying, my preaching that Jesus Christ rose from the dead is not a lie. It's not a deceit. It's not me being a false witness. It is the truth. But what I just want to focus on is that he says that preaching is not in vain. Because that's what he's getting at. And that's what he's telling us. Now, he's telling us that because their argument wasn't Christ didn't rise from the dead. Their argument was there is no resurrection of the dead. And he came to the conclusion that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then that means Christ didn't wasn't raised from the dead. But their thinking was, there is no resurrection from the dead. And he's telling them, there is a resurrection from the dead. And we go down to verse 51, and what he's saying, and I think that this is what we need to keep a good hold on, and we need to be reminded of, is that there is a resurrection of the dead. That means, so Christ came, and the reason why the resurrection of the dead is so important, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, is because how can somebody who promises you eternal life give you eternal life if he doesn't have eternal life? If Christ promises to give you life everlasting, if he promised to raise you up, and then he dies and stays in the grave, then there is no hope that you're going to have it. You can't trust in him. But because Christ did rise from the dead, then you can know for a certainty that you're going to rise. That there you're going to have eternal life. That there's something greater coming. And that's what he's saying. He says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." He's saying, there is a resurrection of the dead. And that means our preaching is not in vain. Amen. Preaching is not in vain. It is the greatest thing we can do. It's the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing we have. Listen, the preaching of the gospel isn't in vain. If Christ didn't raise, then it was in vain. And then it doesn't matter. But Christ is not dead. He is alive. And that makes what we have the most important thing there is. The greatest thing there is. There's nothing more valuable or important in our lives because the resurrection is real. And that's why he says in verse 58, that's how he gets to that conclusion of saying, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our labor is not in vain. It's not in vain because the Lord did rise from the dead, and he is going to raise us up from the dead. And there is a life that is much greater, much better than this life here on earth. And he's saying, focus, understand, listen, it's real. Amen. And that makes what you do here not in vain.
Amen.
Have we forgotten that Christ rose from the dead?
Yeah.
I mean, have we forgotten that there's a resurrection? Have we forgotten that there's something greater than this life? I think it can happen. It can happen that we focus on this. And we forget that what counts, what is valuable, is our labor in Christ. Our preaching the word. Our preaching that is what is not in vain. And so I think this is an encouragement for us to see where our heart is, to see where our minds are. This life is not about comfort. It's not about living it up in this life. I mean, it really isn't. Because Christ did rise from the dead. And that means we are going to rise from the dead. And so what is important is to keep our eyes and remember that what Christ taught and what Christ did is real. What he said is real, and it is going to pass. It is going to be accomplished. And so our labor is not in vain.
Amen.
Our preaching is not in vain.
Amen.
Hey, our faith isn't in vain. We have a hope.
Amen.
And therefore we labor. We strive to serve Christ and to do all we can. There's nothing greater than this because there is a resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
So let's not give up. Let's not fall. Let's stand fast,
Amen.
In this labor that we're doing for Christ.
Amen.
Amen.